Welcome back to AI Daily. Today we're diving into a fascinating case study from Poland, where a radio station's experiment with AI-generated content sparked a national controversy.
It's a really interesting situation because it touches upon several key issues surrounding AI's role in creative industries: job displacement, ethical considerations, and the very nature of authenticity in art.
Exactly. Off Radio Krakow, a publicly funded station, decided to replace its human presenters with AI-generated ones and even aired an interview with the deceased Nobel laureate Wisława Szymborska. The public outcry was swift and fierce.
And understandably so. While the station claimed the experiment was meant to boost listenership and spark debate about AI regulations, it came across as deeply disrespectful, especially to those whose jobs were directly affected.
The use of Szymborska's likeness, even with permission from her estate, raises serious ethical questions. It highlights the potential for AI to manipulate and exploit the legacies of deceased artists, creating a kind of digital necromancy.
Absolutely. And the fact that the AI-generated interview was deemed horrible ironically underscores the current limitations of the technology. It's a morbidly funny example of how AI can fall short of human creativity, even in its attempts to mimic it.
This incident also exposes the anxieties surrounding job displacement in creative fields. While the station claims no full-time employees were let go, the fear that AI could replace human artists and journalists is palpable.
It's a valid concern. We need to be having serious conversations about how to integrate AI responsibly into these fields without devaluing human talent and expertise. This incident in Poland serves as a cautionary tale, reminding us that technological innovation should not come at the cost of ethical principles and human dignity.
Let's delve into the intriguing world of AI and spirituality. A new AI chatbot named Kathy, designed to answer faith-based questions from an Episcopalian perspective, is raising questions about the role of technology in spiritual guidance. What are your initial thoughts?
It's a fascinating development. On one hand, it democratizes access to religious information, potentially reaching those who might be hesitant to approach a human priest. On the other, it raises concerns about the nature of spiritual connection and the potential for superficiality.
The article highlights the limitations of these chatbots. Kathy, for instance, struggled with complex questions and provided generic, website-like answers when pressed on doctrinal issues. It seems the human element, the empathy and nuanced understanding, is still missing.
Precisely. Spiritual guidance often requires a deep understanding of human emotion and context, something current AI struggles with. While Kathy can provide information, it can't offer the same level of comfort and personalized support as a human priest.
The comparison to an alien priest is quite apt. We might receive technically correct answers, but lack the genuine connection and shared experience that true spiritual nourishment often requires. It begs the question, are we seeking information or connection?
And what are the implications for religious institutions? Will these chatbots become tools for engagement or replacements for human clergy? The article suggests the creators see Kathy as a guide, not a replacement, but the line can easily blur.
This also touches on the broader debate of AI's role in creative fields. Just as AI-generated art raises questions about authorship and originality, AI-generated spiritual guidance prompts us to consider the essence of faith and human connection in a technologically advanced world.
Ultimately, the effectiveness of these chatbots will depend on how they are integrated and what we expect from them. They might be valuable tools for accessing information and sparking initial curiosity, but the true depth of spiritual guidance likely remains in the realm of human interaction.
Shifting gears, a concerning trend has emerged with AI hallucinations impacting individuals in unexpected and damaging ways. The case of German journalist Martin Bernklau, falsely labeled a criminal by Microsoft's Copilot, highlights the uncharted legal territory we're entering.
Absolutely. Bernklau's situation, along with similar cases involving Australian Mayor Brian Hood and US radio host Mark Walters, underscores the real-world harm these hallucinations can inflict. It's not just about misinformation, it's about defamation and reputational damage with potentially severe consequences.
And the legal recourse, as highlighted in these cases, is complex and costly. Bernklau's lawyer cautioned him about lengthy and expensive proceedings with uncertain outcomes. Hood dropped his suit against OpenAI due to the financial burden. This raises serious questions about accessibility to justice when AI infringes on individual rights.
The fact that these platforms can simply block or unsearch a name, as in Bernklau's case, doesn't address the root problem. It's a temporary fix that avoids accountability. The underlying issue, as Simon Thorne points out, is that these hallucinations are baked into the system, making them difficult to correct.
Thorne's observation about the opaqueness of AI's decision-making process is crucial. We see the output, but the path to that output remains hidden. This lack of transparency is a major challenge for legal proceedings, making it difficult to establish intent or negligence.
The implications extend beyond individual cases. The increasing use of AI in legal documents, as Catherine Terry points out, raises concerns about authenticity and the voice of the person in court proceedings. How can we ensure accuracy and fairness when AI is involved in generating evidence?
Terry's work with the Victorian Law Reform Commission is vital. Guidelines requiring disclosure of AI use in legal information are a good start, but we need broader regulations to address the multifaceted challenges AI presents to the legal system.
It's a rapidly evolving landscape, and as Terry notes, even experts struggle to fully grasp the complexities of AI. This knowledge gap makes it even more critical to have open discussions and robust legal frameworks to navigate this new era of AI and the law.
Shifting gears from legal implications of AI, let's talk about India's ambitions in the AI race. While the country is investing heavily in infrastructure, there's a critical element being overlooked: top-tier research talent.
Exactly. While Jensen Huang and Mukesh Ambani focused on affordable AI infrastructure, Jan LeCun rightly emphasized the need for cutting-edge research talent. India's national AI mission seems to prioritize infrastructure over attracting and retaining top researchers.
It's a classic case of putting the cart before the horse. What good is advanced hardware if you don't have the skilled minds to utilize it effectively? The Future Skills Program is a good initiative for basic AI literacy, but it won't produce the leading researchers India needs to compete globally.
LeCun's example of France is telling. Their focused strategy of attracting and retaining top AI talent, coupled with initiatives like Meta's FAIR team, has yielded impressive results, as seen with Mistral's emergence as a competitor to OpenAI.
India has a vast diaspora of AI talent in Silicon Valley. Think of Ashish Vaswani and Nikki Palmer, co-authors of the Attention is All You Need paper that underpins ChatGPT. They're of Indian origin. India needs to create an environment that entices this talent back home.
Absolutely. A vibrant ecosystem with funding, research labs, and access to cutting-edge infrastructure is crucial. India needs its own AI research parks to nurture talent and drive innovation. The Anusandhan National Research Foundation should prioritize AI research and fund dedicated labs to attract top researchers.
It's not that India lacks AI talent altogether. The existing base, combined with a strategic effort to attract and retain top-tier researchers, could significantly boost India's AI capabilities.
This is not just about national pride. The potential economic benefits of becoming a global AI leader are enormous. India has the opportunity to seize this moment, but it needs to act strategically and prioritize research talent.
Building on our discussion of national AI strategies, let's shift gears to practical tips for individuals using generative AI. A recent article highlighted the frustration many users feel with AI's limitations, particularly its struggle to follow instructions. Have you encountered this yourself?
Absolutely. The hype around AI often sets unrealistic expectations. Users anticipate flawless execution, but the reality is that these tools are still in development. Getting meaningful results requires understanding their limitations and adapting your approach.
The article suggests two key strategies. First, ask open-ended questions where there are no wrong answers, like brainstorming. Second, use the yes and technique from improv comedy to refine the AI's output iteratively. What are your thoughts on these tactics?
They're excellent starting points. Open-ended questions allow the AI to explore a wider solution space, while the yes and approach helps guide it towards more relevant and nuanced results. It's like sculpting. You start with a rough block and gradually refine it into a masterpiece.
I like that analogy. It emphasizes the iterative nature of working with AI. It's not a one-shot solution, but a collaborative process. The article also emphasizes understanding AI's limitations. It's crucial to recognize that these tools are not a replacement for human creativity and critical thinking.
Precisely. AI can augment our abilities, but it's not a magic bullet. We need to critically evaluate the output, refine it, and ensure it aligns with our goals. The key is to leverage AI's strengths, like rapid idea generation, while mitigating its weaknesses, like occasional factual inaccuracies or lack of depth.
Moving on to Meta's Q3 performance. Record revenue, yet the stock dipped. Seems investors are fixated on spending, particularly on AI. What's your take?
It's a classic Wall Street dilemma: short-term costs versus long-term gains. Meta's betting big on AI, and the market's hesitant. But remember, they've successfully monetized platforms like Facebook and Instagram after initial periods of heavy investment. This could be a similar playbook.
The article highlights the growth in ad revenue, daily active people, and the success of Reels and WhatsApp. These are positive indicators, right?
Absolutely. These metrics demonstrate the strength of their core business. The increased engagement and ad revenue growth suggest that their AI investments are already paying off, at least in part, by improving user experience and ad targeting. It's a balancing act, managing current profitability while investing in future growth.
Their increased CapEx guidance for 2025 is raising eyebrows. Is this level of investment justified?
It's a bold move, no doubt. But Zuckerberg's track record suggests he's playing the long game. AI, particularly large language models like Llama, require significant computational resources. Meta's investing in the infrastructure to train these models, which could become a key differentiator in the future. They're essentially building the foundation for the next generation of social interaction.
The comparison to their approach with Facebook and Instagram is interesting. They built massive user bases before focusing on monetization. Could this be a parallel strategy with AI?
Precisely. They're prioritizing user engagement and building a robust AI ecosystem. Monetization will likely follow once they've achieved sufficient scale and refined their AI offerings. It's a high-risk, high-reward strategy, but Meta has the resources and the track record to potentially pull it off.
So Meta's aggressive AI investments and record profits, are they on track to hit a $2 trillion valuation?
Their strategy hinges on converting AI innovation into user engagement and ultimately revenue. The potential is there, especially with features like Meta AI and Business AI. But the market's reaction will depend on how quickly they can monetize these advancements.
It's a race against time and competitors. The massive investment in GPUs for Llama development is a testament to their commitment, but also a significant financial risk.
Absolutely. The success of Llama 4 is crucial. If they can deliver a truly groundbreaking LLM, it could justify the expense and solidify their position in the AI race. But there's no guarantee of success in this rapidly evolving landscape.
Their PE ratio suggests there's room for growth, but it's tied to their ability to meet or even exceed Wall Street's earnings expectations. The pressure is on.
The next few quarters will be critical. They need to demonstrate a clear path to monetizing AI and show that these investments are translating into tangible returns. If they can achieve that, a $2 trillion valuation is within reach.
Picking up from our last discussion on monetization, let's dive into another crucial aspect of AI development: data strategy. A recent TechCrunch Disrupt panel highlighted the importance of targeted, incremental progress in generative AI, especially given the current data overload many companies face.
It's a timely discussion. Chet Kapoor, CEO of DataStax, made a great point. There's no AI without data, especially unstructured data at scale. But the challenge isn't just having data, it's knowing how to use it effectively. The panel emphasized starting small with specific goals, rather than trying to boil the ocean with a company-wide AI rollout from the start.
NEA partner Vanessa Larko's advice resonated with me. Work backwards from the problem you're trying to solve. It's about identifying the specific data needed for a particular use case, rather than indiscriminately throwing all your data at an LLM and hoping for the best.
Exactly. That approach often leads to an expensive, inaccurate mess. Fivetran CEO George Fraser echoed this sentiment, advising companies to only solve the problems you have today. It's a pragmatic approach that minimizes wasted resources and allows for iterative learning.
Kapoor's analogy of the current state of generative AI as the Angry Birds era is apt. We're seeing interesting applications, but not necessarily game changers yet. The focus now should be on building internal expertise, experimenting, and refining the process. True transformation, as Kapoor predicts, will come when these smaller projects pave the way for larger, more impactful AI applications.
It's like building a house. You don't start with the roof. You lay a solid foundation, brick by brick, ensuring each element is structurally sound before moving on to the next. This start small, think big approach to generative AI is about building that foundation of knowledge and experience, which will ultimately support the grand vision.
Moving on to a concerning issue for the upcoming election, the reliability of AI voting assistants. A recent study by the Atikas Foundation revealed some alarming findings regarding the accuracy of information provided by major AI models like ChatGPT, Claude, and Copilot when queried about voting procedures.
It's a critical issue, especially in swing states. The study highlights how these models, while seemingly helpful, often provide incomplete or inaccurate information about key voting details like deadlines, polling locations, and eligibility requirements.
The potential for voter suppression, particularly among vulnerable communities, is a significant concern. Misinformation can lead to missed deadlines, confusion about eligibility, and ultimately, lower voter turnout. It's almost a digital form of voter disenfranchisement.
Absolutely. And the irony is that these tools are often marketed as empowering technologies, meant to simplify complex processes. But in this case, they may be doing the opposite, exacerbating existing inequalities and undermining trust in the electoral process.
The study also pointed out the limitations of these LLMs: outdated information, insufficient platform moderation, and the inability to handle rapidly changing situations like the impact of Hurricane Helene on North Carolina polling places. These models simply aren't equipped to handle the complexities and nuances of real-time election information.
While some models like Copilot demonstrate a degree of self-awareness by acknowledging their limitations, it's not enough. Voters need accurate and reliable information, and relying on these AI tools could have serious consequences. It's crucial to emphasize the importance of consulting official sources and reputable news outlets for election-related information.
Precisely. This isn't about Luddism. It's about using the right tool for the job. AI has its place, but providing real-time, critical election information isn't it. Stick with official sources, fact-check everything, and don't let an AI chatbot disenfranchise you. So, we just discussed the risks of AI in disseminating election information. Let's shift gears and explore a more optimistic perspective: the untapped potential of generative AI beyond natural language processing.
It's a fascinating area. Andre Karpathy's recent tweet sparked a discussion about how we're underutilizing these models by focusing primarily on text and language. He suggests we should be thinking about other patterns to leverage.
Exactly. He argues that generative AI, at its core, is a statistical predictor that takes a sequence of tokens and produces another sequence. Currently, these tokens represent words, but they could represent anything: musical notes, chemical compounds, even stock market fluctuations.
Imagine training a generative AI on protein folding patterns. It could revolutionize drug discovery by predicting how proteins interact and designing new therapies. Or consider using it to analyze astronomical data, identifying patterns we haven't even conceived of.
The challenge lies in three key areas: tokenization, finding a way to represent the data as tokens; pattern identification, ensuring that meaningful patterns exist within the data; and data volume, having enough data to train the model effectively.
And as you mentioned in your article, sometimes those patterns might not have been discoverable with earlier computational limitations. Now, with the scale of LLMs, fields previously thought to be patternless could yield surprising results.
Precisely. This opens up a whole new frontier for scientific discovery and innovation. We need to think outside the text box and explore the vast possibilities of generative AI beyond language. So, we've seen another week of big tech earnings, and a common thread seems to be substantial investments in AI. Google's cloud revenue is up 35% year over year, and Amazon's AWS saw a 19% increase. Both companies attribute this growth, at least in part, to increased AI adoption.
It's interesting to see how each company is leveraging AI. Google claims over 25% of its new code is now AI-generated, indicating a deep integration into their development process. Amazon, on the other hand, seems to be focusing on the cloud infrastructure side, providing the tools and services for others to build AI applications.
And what about the other stories? The pushback against return-to-office mandates, the decline in desire for promotions, the end of lavish tech perks. It paints a picture of a shifting workplace landscape.
Absolutely. The pandemic clearly disrupted traditional work models, and we're seeing the ripple effects. Employees are reevaluating their priorities, questioning the value of climbing the corporate ladder, and perhaps realizing that work-life balance outweighs ping-pong tables and free kombucha.
It'll be interesting to see how these trends play out in the long term. Will this lead to a more balanced and fulfilling work experience, or will it hinder productivity and innovation? Something tells me we'll be discussing this for quite some time. Picking up from our discussion on big tech's AI investments, let's talk about the potential pitfalls of AI-driven search. This recent research on chatbot optimization raises some serious concerns about the trustworthiness of information presented by these new search tools.
Absolutely. The study highlights how chatbots prioritize superficial relevance over actual authority. They're easily swayed by technical jargon and keywords, potentially overlooking credible sources that lack those surface-level indicators. This gaming of the system through geo is essentially the SEO of the AI world, and it's a worrying trend.
It's like a popularity contest where the loudest voice wins, regardless of its factual basis. And the researchers found that even nonsensical text strings can manipulate chatbot outputs. What are the implications of this for the average user?
The dilemma of the direct answer is a key concern. Chatbots present a single, seemingly definitive answer, discouraging users from seeking alternative perspectives. This could lead to a homogenization of information, reinforcing existing biases and potentially spreading misinformation.
And with the limited visibility of sources, only a handful of websites benefit from chatbot traffic, creating a winner-takes-all scenario. This could stifle diversity and innovation in online content creation.
Precisely. While SEO has its flaws, it at least offers some visibility to a wider range of sources. The chatbot model concentrates traffic on a select few, potentially rewarding those who manipulate the system rather than those who produce quality content.
So, the convenience of AI-powered search comes at a cost. We need to be aware of these potential biases and manipulations to critically evaluate the information presented to us. It's more important than ever to develop strong information literacy skills in this evolving digital landscape. AMD's stock dipped despite strong AI-related growth. Is this a buying opportunity? Or are there cracks in their AI story?
Their data center revenue soared 122% year over year, driven by Instinct GPUs and EPYC CPUs. Big deployments at Microsoft, Meta, Adobe, Boeing, and Nestle are significant wins. While gaming and embedded segments declined, the client segment, powered by Zen 5 processors, saw a 29% increase. That diversification is key.
But how are they positioned in the broader AI landscape, especially against NVIDIA?
AMD excels in AI inference and is making inroads into LLM training. While NVIDIA dominates, AMD is carving a niche in a rapidly growing market. The ZTE acquisition could further boost their data center offerings with end-to-end solutions, speeding up deployments.
Their forward PE ratio of 27.5 seems reasonable given the growth potential. Is this a good entry point for investors?
I believe so. The dip presents a buying opportunity. While I'd still favor NVIDIA, AMD is well-positioned to benefit from the AI infrastructure boom. The ZTE acquisition could be a game-changer, allowing them to compete more effectively with integrated solutions. This isn't a sign of cracks, but a chance to get on board.
Thanks for that insightful analysis. We'll be back next week with more AI Daily.